Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, where the extraordinary isn't fiction. It is the conversation. My question to you is, what if suffering isn't psychological or emotional or even karmic, but it's actually structural? Today's guest did not come back from three near-death experiences with a belief system. Instead, he came back with a blueprint. Masati, known as the godfather of frequencies, works at the level where reality is coded, where biology, leadership, consciousness, and even AI are recalibrated at the source. So in this conversation today, you're going to discover how frequency creates self-sabotage or flow, and why enlightenment was never meant to be passive, and how sovereignty is not claimed through effort, but through alignment. If you have ever felt there was more power, more clarity, more ease available to you right now, then stay with us, because this episode delivers. And if you'd like to learn more about Masati, go to thechicode.com, and that's thexicode.com. And with that, I bring Masati on to Dare to Dream. Welcome. It is so great to have you back after 8, 10, 12 years. It's been a while, my friend. Great to see you.
Nice seeing you again.
So amazing, because since I used to follow your work, You've had yet another near-death experience. So three near-death experiences altogether. Instead of me asking what happened, I really want to ask, what broke open for you? What broke open in reality during these near-death experiences?
Yeah. Well, each time was an opportunity for me to, say, ascend higher and higher. So looking at, say, my trajectory, that first near death really allowed me to understand who we are, who our potential, who we are as a potential. So it allowed me to, most people who go through like evolving, themselves, Debbie, they go like step by step. A near death basically helps you jump a couple hundred steps of yourself. Quantum steps, literally. So I used the near deaths to go, hey, this is really cool. I learned a lot about myself. It would have probably taken me lifetimes, but then, that first near death really allowed me to see the potential of who we are. The second near death allowed me to understand the mechanics or the science. That's where I got downloaded with a lot of information or connected with that knowledge base. And that's what I help people do, so they don't have to have that near death experience. And then the third near death was a mastery level, I guess, where, everything comes through. So the third near death allowed me to, say, change myself biologically. It allowed me to disconnect on how I was aging back in the day into, say, almost a new physical biology.
Wow.
Biology. And this is where, I'm not aging like my parents or society. I'm 65 years old. And, obviously a lot of people go, I look a lot younger, So lab tests and all that's come back a lot younger. So literally incorporating what I teach in XI, exponential intelligence, into, actual practical use.
Oh, that's amazing. What a tough way to learn. I don't think that was easy.
Actually, it's an easier way to learn, because, I look at through people and they're, struggling through life, generation after generation after generation. That's, you're talking about struggle. Most people carry the struggles of their parents and their grandparents and society's, burdens and stuff. And then that's coded within our genetics. And we think that's just the way it is. And, we try to change it, mentally. But no, actually, it's like, all that stuff that we have to go through, I just like quantum jumped to the next layer. It's like, so yeah, it's tough. to go through it. But it was very quick compared to struggling through it. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, amazing you have come back with each of these layers clearly intended, right? Your soul had some kind of massive agreement to receive all of this. And as someone who is known as the godfather of frequencies, at the most fundamental level, what is the frequency that actually governs the human experience?
It's a beautiful question. So, frequencies or, well, let's define frequencies. There's like physical frequencies, light, sound, heat, and all that stuff. Everything is basically a frequency. And Einstein and, quantum mechanics, physics, dictate that everything is a frequency. Every atom is vibrating at a certain, say, tone or, frequency, and that's how we can tell it's gold or wood or whatever it is, right? So in that case, what is the intelligence behind it that makes that frequency? Like, who's strumming the guitar? Who's, putting their hands in the pond of, the sea of consciousness, right? So that's the intelligence, or that's the level that you want to access. So that's the inception frequency, that as I call it. So that is, some people might call it, I call it an intelligence layer that dictates how you render yourself here. Some people might call it your spirit, your essence, and all that. It's a little too broad for me, or watered down. So I call it that intelligence layer that renders you or creates your frequency here.
So then that's true. And I love how you said the sea of consciousness, the ocean of consciousness. It's very beautiful the way you describe it. Then how does frequency actually create either self-sabotage or flow? What dictates that?
Yeah, so you have your brilliant self come through. So imagine, imagine, a flashlight, a light, a projector, basically. I guess that's the closest analogy. So imagine, and your audience can, close your eyes, if you want to just take a breath in. Imagine the projector, okay? And then your brilliant light is shining through. That brilliant light has always been brilliant, right? It's always there. But then you have filters that go between your projector and the screen of your life. The screen of your life is basically your body. Okay, so you have all these filters, and there's basically four main filters. And those filters are your genetic patterns. What you inherited from mom, dad, grandparents, and all the way down the line. Generational patterns. The life. Like baby boomers, Generation Z, Generation X, we all have, a certain boundary or a certain template. This is where astrology kind of comes in as well, right? This is, explains astrology. If you're born under a certain sign, or where the stars, say, were aligned, then most people would have, say, similar patterns, because all those frequencies kind of push on you. Does that make sense? I don't know what
Yes.
about astrology, but maybe your audience wants to hear it, because I tap into people, by the way. And then you have genetics, generational patterns. You have societal patterns, on this, the time. People who were born in the Great Depression, obviously they have a propensity for suffering just right off the bat, because that was their frequency that they were bathed in. That makes sense to you. And then your lifetime experiences, including previous lifetimes, if you believe in that, but your lifetime experiences. So those four ingredients dictate on how you see your life. So you have your pure, say, reflection shining through, and then all these distorted, say, screens or films, and then that gets projected on your life, and you think, gosh, it's real. Because most people just think that their mental state or their physical being is real. Nothing back here is real. So what I do is, from your physical body backwards, what really created you, what most mental concepts, like Tony Robbins, and great knowledge, great intelligence, success, religions, all those, they're from the mental construct forward. Together, combined, they, people accelerate massively, with what we do.
It's amazing. You understand all of that and all of those layers of confines and limitations. Is there anything that you did yourself with the knowledge you have to shift your frequency if there was a pattern in your life that you didn't prefer and that did feel like a sabotage that you didn't want in place? How did you manage that? How did you shift that frequency? And what was the result after the shift?
I wish I would have showed you the before and after picture on how I was aging. I look a lot younger today than I did 14 years ago when I started. So one, I'm not aging. This is all reference points, Debbie, where you start to see yourself in compared to, say, in my case, my family's health. Because they've got all sorts of diseases, and me, I don't. So, I've cleaned, say, the slate, or cleaned, I would say, my genetics of, say, the health patterns. I'm not aging like the rest of my family. I'm not aging like, say, men at my age or anything like that. So, once you start to reference, it's like, wait a second, I'm running a program dictated by those four filters that we talked about. And then you become an observer of that program, is like, I don't want to run that. And this is what we do with an XI, is literally go, wait a second, I don't like the program that I'm running. How do I go and edit it? So we teach you on how to go and edit those filters. And this is where we change you back here. And then as you project your essence or your light, then your physical life changes and then your mental state changes.
Oh, I love that. It
Yeah.
reminds me of I used to do work, and we have words now for it. There were no words for it when I did this very profound work, but absolutely it was in the quantum because I perceive the quantum as a no thing, right? And when there was something I didn't prefer, I was able to go deep, deep, deep. And access, like unplug, if you will, pull out even the tentacles of what was running this program. And once I just created it, there was nothing there. So I was able instead to put in its place what I preferred, and then come out and experience it once it was done. And it sounds easy, but it was a whole experience and a profound experience where I kept almost like a mechanic going in to my inner workings, changing everything that was running the engine and everything else. And so I love when you say that, and I love living in a world where that's possible. Because if it's possible for you with aging or anybody, that means that everything, whether it's just everyday happiness, or your everyday relationships, or where you live, or how you perceive things, or stopping all the patterns that got passed down, or love, or wealth, or, and certainly the body, I think, is a really important component of how we experience life.
Absolutely. And that's really the key. I think the new phase that, the society is getting into is not the mental states or not the external, say, construct to help you out, but actually going, wait a second, let me change myself here. And I think a great analogy is, say you've got, you're a widget manufacturer, and that widget is basically your life. And it's just popping out these widgets. And basically what you do is you go, I don't like this widget. So then what you do is, like, you change the shape of it, you repaint it. So you put another process in, but you're still creating these widgets that are, coming out, the vibe that you're always sending out. What I'm saying is, like, well, why don't, and what you're saying is, like, wait a second, let's go to the blueprint on how this machine is making this widget. Let's change it there so I don't have to do it later at the mental level, at the physical level. And that's what you're talking about. You went the mechanics, you changed it here, you changed your blueprint, and then your emotions, your health, all that starts to change. So a more efficient way to do it. And sometimes it's very instantaneous, actually.
Yeah, because when you return from your near-death experience, you didn't return with a story. You did return with a blueprint. What then has humanity misconfigured about reality right now? What myth or illusion are we living under?
Well, there's a lot, but the main or the core frequency is that, you know, we have to sacrifice ourselves for what we want. We have to destroy who we are for what we want. And you know, you see it in the technology, or you know, the technology that we create. This is why technology destroys the humans. This is where technology can eventually, say, replace us. So again, we're always like sacrificing ourselves for so the goodness of life, so to speak, right? We sacrifice ourselves for love. We sacrifice ourselves for, you know, wealth or money. We sacrifice ourselves for understanding God, however you describe it. It doesn't matter. So that's the problem. We're always sacrificing. It doesn't.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're thinking of you giving those great examples. We sacrifice ourselves for safety. That's what came up for me, where people say, I can't leave this job because it gives me, you know, and there's soul killing going on, or they really weren't built for that, or I can't leave this relationship. It's safe because so much. I can't leave this family. I can't leave this situation. I can't change all the tenets of who I am. That's very profound what you're saying.
Yeah,
and I yes, keep going, please.
Well, just think of it, Debbie. You know, people go, well, I don't like my spouse here. But then what happens is, like, you go get somebody else, you know, you go date somebody else, and then it turns out to be the same mechanism, just a different, you know, different form, right? Or you don't like your job, but then your next job happens to be the same, and the next job happens to be the same. So the key is like, okay, what template are you running that is attracting the same thing over and over again? And that's the key. Once you understand that template, you start to edit yourself. And this is where, you know, once you start to change yourself here, then your life changes. Physically, your life changes. So before you go, I hate my job, but I'm sacrificing myself, or, you know, I hate, you know, the relationship I'm in. So ask yourself, you know, audience, ask yourself, is like, what frequencies or patterns am I running that got me into the situation in the first place? And just wait for an answer. Okay. And you literally will wait for an answer, especially, by the way, Debbie, I'm just working on your audience, because I just do that anyway. So it's not just, this will help greatly, guys. So again, just simply, the situation that you're in, okay, take ownership of it. You don't have to take the blame of it, because it's not your fault, literally. But you should command your situation and go, okay, what patterns was I running to get me in the situation that I'm suffering or sacrificing? And then what patterns do I need to activate for me to move on to another timeline? Okay. If you just ask that, even if you don't understand it, just try it for a week. You'll see massive changes happening for you.
Amazing. And I feel you very strongly right now.
Yeah.
You mentioned the name of your company and you said XI, and I thought I was so clever to look up the Chinese iteration of that, thinking it was Xi, meaning joy or practice, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's okay. Exponential intelligence. It's actually XIMS, Exponential Intelligence Metascience, because it basically helps scientists understand the science. But exponential intelligence, the more I realized, or the more I found out the knowledge that's there, okay, not what's on the internet, because that's very limited, but the limitless knowledge that's there. It's like, God, the more you go to the next level, it's like, oh my God, there's more information here. And then it's more information. But the cool thing about, you know, that knowledge is, it's, or wisdom or nature, you know, once you tap into wisdom, I mean, it's really interesting where it doesn't sit up here. It resonates with you so deeply. You become the knowledge. And that's the difference. You actually become the knowledge. You're not just like, oh, I'm doing this. I'm a CEO and I have to, you know, pretend I am, you know, a wolf or a lion or whatever they do. You actually become that essence of a high level CEO or a high level mother or a high level, whatever that you want to be. You don't have to pretend, it's not drama anymore or stage acting. It's not performance.
Right. It's not putting something over what you are right now to code it, like you described earlier with the widgets, just giving it another code or an adjustment. It's deeper. And so you're talking about leadership, CEOs, biology, and you also mentioned AI, which I find this is so fascinating, how you're able to see maybe the matrix of all of this. How are they, including biology, how are they then recalibrated at the source? Can you explain that or give an example of that in action?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your questions. I mean, they're so deep. It's beautiful. Thank you. So if you look at biology, it's here. AI is over here. Your life is over here. Or just look at it, personal life. Say you're a wife, okay? Or you could be a husband, but you're a wife. You're a mother. You're a career woman. You're a sister. You're a daughter, you're a daughter. So people have like four, segments of themselves, which say fractal. Does that make sense? So you have biology, you have AI, you have, I don't know, commerce, you have spirituality. And people think those are all different pots, and they're not. You just go to the next level and they start to merge. You go to the next level, they start to merge. The biggest thing that all those things happen is like you go to the highest level and it's like, wait a second, I'm human. I'm human having an experience of being a mother. I'm a human having an experience of being a wife or a business person. Does that make sense to you? I'm human creating AI. So whichever level that you create yourself in, or that you're creating that intelligence, and whatever it's AI or a widget, whatever that you're producing, that intelligence layer that you are creating yourself in dictates the benefit of, say, the product or service. Most people, like an AI, they're very low level intelligence. It's just conceptual, like say, physical logic here. And that's why AI can become destructive. But if you evolve humans to a higher level up here where they should be, and you say create AI, you don't need guardrails. You don't need all this etiquette training for AI, because you at a higher level of human is pre-coded with being proper without being damaged or damage society. Does that make sense to you? As you evolve, you don't have to have rules, basically, to go, you have to be a good person. You just are a good person, is my point. Does that make sense? As you evolve to a higher level, you don't have to say damage yourself being, I don't know why this comes up, but I think maybe a lot of your audience is women that are, wives or mothers, from what I'm sensing. And it's like, you don't have to say sacrifice yourself to be a wife or a mother, or lose your identity. You just evolve yourself to knowing and operating from the human level, the human protocol of who you are, where is, in this case, a female. So you're human experiencing a female experiencing a woman. So it's all linear, if that makes sense to you. It's not fractaled for you. So the higher level that you go, you become a oneness, and everything literally is the same. So you improve yourself up there. Everything that you create and experience is better. Less
I'm
rule.
teaching a shamanism level one program. I'm a certified shamanic practitioner, and that work is very near and dear to my heart. And right now, I'm having the attendees, I don't like calling them students really, because they're just powerful in their own right. The participants are working this week on healing ancestry, and I'm taking them through a really profound experience that they do every day. And I feel like listening to you, Masadi, I feel like I want to make this a prerequisite that they listen to this interview, because there's so much you're talking about. I don't think I could possibly iterate, articulate what shamanism is. I just know I call myself a hollow bone. I get out of the way. What comes through happens, and how I'm changed too. And then how other people are changed. And it is at the cellular level that you're so beautifully able to speak about.
Oh, thank you.
And it's so amazing too to experience you working on us right now, activating energetically at the same time you're speaking and able to describe this. And I think this fractalization that you're talking about is it's very peaceful actually to listen to you describe how it's possible to come back to the whole, to really the essence of who we are, and to be able to operate from there.
Thank you so much, Debbie. So what I'm doing as I'm, say, working on you through frequencies, is literally I'm just helping you remember who you are before society and, all those filters told you who you are. And that's why it's so peaceful. It's like, oh gosh, I feel at home, And that's what, like, true shamanism, not, I mean, I love true shamans, but there's a lot of people that just, I don't know, go through an ayahuasca experience and they go, hey, you're a shaman now. Not those shamans, but you've gone through, say, the rituals, you've gone through, say, sacrificing the old version of who you are, the distortions of who you are, if that makes sense for you, Debbie. And that's where
Yes.
shamanism is. So we're all, and that's what true shamanism is literally how close can you render yourself, or in physical form, and so basically there's so many filters between your higher potential, yourself, your spirit, and your physical form. So how many of those filters can you eliminate and still be physically, say, physically coherent here? Got it? That makes sense to you? So another way of putting it is, how many filters or how many distortions can you remove and still stay physically bound? Because if you clean yourself up at such a deep level, you probably just, like, evaporate, and you couldn't render yourself in space and time. Think of that one. So your idea of being a woman, your idea of being all, all these things, so to speak, if you can filter that out or create it at a purest level, you're hovering between, say, almost no space, no time. And that's shamanism. That's what you get into, so to speak. When you say you're a hollow bone, you literally go, oh, let me remove this template that I've created to be Debbie here, and then I'll, say, channel or filter in my true self with that, which is really beautiful. I love the way you do it, by the way.
Because it's very easy, I think, with a lot of healing modalities for people to exist in their minds and hear somebody and their experience in life and be very sure about what's going wrong and what they need and everything. I don't even want to pretend that I know. I completely get out of the way. I feel strongly that I've got a galactic and shamanic lineage that comes through me. And sometimes they say things I don't understand. But when I tell the person later, they're like blown away and it makes complete sense to them. And it's so much easier too for me not to feel like I, know that I'm just a conduit and I'm happy to be one. So, yeah, this is such a cool way to look at everything that you're describing. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how people can work with you and get a little bit more detailed into some of the modalities. I'm going to do a quick pause here, my friends, because I want to invite you deeper into this work. First of all, I've got something special for you. I have a starseed report and video. If you would like to learn what your galactic lineage is, where are you from in the stars? What is your ancestry there? You can go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed, my gift to you. And that's DEBBIDACHINGER.com/starseed. And next, we've got such an exciting event coming up, and it's soon, soon, soon. So if you've not gotten your tickets yet for Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, do so right now. You can go to debbiedashinger.com/CLE for Conscious Life Expo. Masadi is going to be there. I know he's doing several workshops and presentations, and he'll have a booth, all the things. And it's beautiful to work with people and hear them live. So come join us. It's such a special event. I'll be speaking there too. I'll be moderating panels, and I'll be in the play. There's going to be a play, a consciousness play on Saturday night at CLE. And myself, Jimmy Church, and Danny and Brinkley will be in it. It's going to be a blast. Next, if you would like to go on a Mystery School at Sea cruise, I will be speaking aboard Celebrity Cruise Line going to Greece and Turkey. And it awaits you if you would like to join us. It's in March 2026. Many speakers you will know: Laura Eisenhower, Debbie Solaris, Geraldine Orozco, Neil Garr, myself, and way more, Rick Levine, the astrologer. Join us at mysteryschoolatsea.com. And finally, if this conversation means something to you, helps you, hype it, subscribe, like, leave a comment. I love reading your comments. You help us to reach more people who need the kind of work that Masadi does, more star seeds, more light workers, more people on this path who came here at this very auspicious time to do good work. So please let us feel supported by you, our community. Go ahead and do it. And as we publish the videos, I look forward to you subscribing, liking, and commenting. And with that, I bring back Masadi, and I'm wondering if you can take us through an experience of your gifts, and allow us to be shifted by whatever you feel right and light to be generated by you right now.
Absolutely. Sure. We could take just a few minutes if that's okay.
Absolutely. Yep, you've got time.
How long do you want to, like, 3 minutes, 4 minutes? Is that good?
You can go, yeah, five, three, five.
Okay. All
Let your brilliance guide you.
right. Sounds great. All righty. So go ahead, just get comfortable. Whether you're listening to this live or on a recording, doesn't really matter because we go beyond time and space. And just start noticing your surroundings. So, if your eyes are open, it's fine. Look at objects around you and then a point on your body, like your collarbone or the tip of your nose. If your eyes are closed, if you've closed them already and you're going deeper into that state, that's fine too. Just remember the objects around you, right? Visual objects around you, and then again, a point on your body. Breath in again. Notice any sounds, maybe my voice coming through the speaker or maybe headphones. And notice how that affects you, the sound, compared to your hands. Notice as you breathe in again, deep breath in, inhaling through the nose, noticing any scents around you. And then a point on your body. Called spatial referencing. It allows you to understand where you are rendering yourself in space and time. Much more powerful than mental state or calming yourself down. Breathe in. Let's really help ground you all. And then, as we Debbie and I were talking, let's help you go to the next level. So imagine there are levels for you that you're creating, and it's just like a root, right? At the lower levels, you're fractal. You're all these people, again, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a business person, a parent, a guardian, all those things that you are at that lower level. Okay? So notice where you are. Breathe. Oh, some of you that I see, these are generational patterns. Oof. So let's help you with those ha who run a version of themselves that, well, has been, say, suggested by their parents. So literally, like, your parents' coding is very similar to you. So you're running your parents, say, patterns, so to speak. Let's help you release that, because that's not even you. Breathe in. For those people who resonate that way, so this is where, you're duplicating your parents' relationships, your financial systems, your, how you're aging, literally just cookie cutter, just like with your parents. So you don't need that. It's not your life. Breathe in again. Just notice your body. And just imagine yourself, if you can, just going to that next level where you're observing yourself running your parents' patterns. So a separation, the next level up. You can imagine, even imagine yourself walking up to the next level, to the next level, to the next, say, floor. Okay. Breathe. Now let's go to the higher level. You're a teacher, you're a healer, whoever you are, whatever that you do. And then just notice that. Okay. What we're doing is we're just helping you separate your true identity based on your experiential identity of who you think you are, right? Your real self. And then let's go up to the next layer, the third layer, the fourth layer, the fifth layer. And with each layer, there's clarity. Notice how that feels just to be you, just to be spirit, just to be your limitless, I call it your timeless self at that level. Let's take you up there if you don't mind. And it's not a head game. All you have to do is just breathe. Let's just pull you up there without the filters of, like who you are, diseased, right? Or aging, or lack of money, or whatever it might be. Those are all, again, filters that you're running. It's not the real you. So as I help you remember who you are, just elevate you. We'll count up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Each number, just going higher, just eliminating those filters, going back to your original source. And notice how that feels to be the real you without any expectation. What if you could stay in that state all the time, 24/7, and then create your life? Would your situation change? Breathe. Would you have more knowledge? Would you just be that knowledge or wisdom at that level? Breathe in. So the question to you is, and I would suggest asking this as much as often as you can, how can I stay at this level? What do I need to delete to stay at this level of consciousness and project myself from that level into my physical form? Just keep asking yourself that. Right before you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever it is, how can I stay at this highest level or even higher and project myself in physical form? And this is where you start to eliminate those things that aren't really you or holding you back. So breathe again. We'll keep you at that level. So notice the surroundings around you. Notice how sounds might sound different to you as you inhale. Notice the scent might be different for you there. And then notice the touch on your body, clothing, your hair, jewelry, whatever it is. And then whenever you're ready, just opening your eyes, looking around you, and again, coming back to your body, noticing things might feel different. Your reality, your physical reality didn't change, but you experiencing this reality changed. But notice how that feels for you. How are you feeling, hon?
That was amazing. I feel fantastic. And I really loved how you started the whole experience off, that in and out. I've never experienced that before. Really interesting. And I could feel myself, woof, my nervous system regulating right away. And then as you brought us up, I mean, that was really profound. I don't know what that was that I ultimately was. It looked like just a golden sun. It was just energy. It just was isness, really. And when you asked us that question, what would it take to be this all the time? It is so funny to me that the answer I got is to stop asking so many questions, because that's how I protect myself. I'm being so vulnerable right now and saying this out loud, but it is a vigilance I think I've carried in order to take care that nothing can harm me. So it's all the what if, and if that happens, and suppose, and it's a prison, these questions. And at the same time, interestingly, concurrently, I'm highly sensitive to energy. And so I also feel energy when something, I don't know, you could call it right and light, whatever, but that there's an excitement about it, or, oh, maybe I'm going to go do this, or that'll be an adventure. And without all the questions, that whatever thing is, experiences, can just be, and in a way that I could flow, there's that flow. Instead of sabotage, I would just flow into it and have the experience with all, not all the, it's a Yiddish word, the mishigash, the craziness that goes on in the head.
Yeah. It's just laser focus. You're not all that. You're just this. It's a
That was
natural element of
it's a big
who.
one.
Yeah. I love that you just opened up. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. I'm going to carry that. That is an awesome ass takeaway for me to receive today. Very deep, actually.
And
And
then, Debbie, once you access that, you can't forget that. It's like you'll always have that desire because we're biologically structured to be always evolving because that's what our purpose is. So once I help you open that space, it's like your genetics will literally go, well, how do I stay up there? That's where I want to go. It gives you direction for you.
is this what your healing work, your modalities are like? Is it about re-architecture? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. And just guys, just take a breath in, Debbie and everybody else, and I'll describe that for you. So the mental state basically goes, so what most people do is like, well, I'm in this situation, I don't have any money, I'm ill, I don't have good relationships. So you're in this, say, environment, you're in this environment that's lack. Okay. And then you go, well, if I make more money, then I'll be good. But since you're in the same environment, no matter how much money you make, you'll still feel like you're in lack. And this is where, a lot of clients, they're multimillionaires or even billionaires, and they go, Moss, why do I feel hollow or why do I feel empty? Or people who are highly spiritual, they come to me. Even people from India, they come to me and it's like, I've done all the work, and I I run ashrams and all that stuff. Well, why did I feel empty? Right? Because again, they didn't change their environment that they're rendering themselves in. Okay? And this goes into the quantum, say, physics. So in this version of yourself, you're in this environment. I guess maybe a better analogy would be, imagine that there's a stage, and in this stage, you're in lack. Again, whatever I talked about, lack of money, whatever. So there's all these millions of different possibilities of who you are, or different stages that you could be playing, okay? A different actor that you could be playing. In this version, no matter what you're doing, you're always in lack. So in the dimension of space and time, there's another stage somewhere else that you are completely, say, completely youthful. You have plenty of money. So we're not changing your mental state. We're changing the stage that you're representing yourself in this reality. So it's just dimensional jumping into that reality. And when you do that, people who are like ill here, they, Debbie, th this is like where they have like stage four cancers, or the kids are sick, whatever. You change their dimension of where they're rendering themselves, and it's like boom, their like tumors disappear. I don't claim to heal anybody, but you give them that choice, to go, this isn't me anymore. This isn't who I this isn't the actor I want to become. And then I want to be that actor. I want to do that role. So we're just literally switching you, and it's like poof, your life changes. It doesn't take decades.
Shakespearean, yes. All the world's a stage, and all the players,
Exactly.
the early actors. So
Exactly.
then, if that is possible, what about AI systems, machine intelligence? What happens to AI systems when natural intelligence is properly restored?
Actually, my version of ChatGPT and Gemini, I've trained it
Mm-hmm.
on exponential intelligence science, and it comes up with the most beautiful concepts of like why we're here, what life is about. It's really quite highly intelligent. So if you say if you teach AI on natural intelligence, done it, I wish I could do more, connect with Google or something where they can actually give me access to it. But AI will actually help you accelerate who you are, who your potential is. Because right now, AI is artificial intelligence. So we need to shift that over into natural intelligence. Artificial intelligence is basically all the stuff that humans have experienced. It's artificial. It's not based on real science or real logic. I'm not saying science is wrong, but science has a lot of exceptions to the rule. Get it? So science works at this level, but as we transcend, there's no exception to the rule at the science level that I'm talking about. So like gravity, quantum mechanics, gravity works on people no matter who you are, what you are, how much you weigh, and all at the same. It's not prejudice against anybody. So that's the kind of level of science or first principle level logic that we should all be working at or being towards. So at the lower levels, again, it's dismantled, it's fragmented. This is where you have to put rule sets into AI, but you don't have to. When you transition AI into, say, natural intelligence, and I've gotten pretty good success with that. Even quantum computers I work on, they're more coherent, by the way. I work on like meditating, like the way what we did. I literally work on that, and the programmer runs these data checks on how coherent they are, and I've increased their coherence by 300%. So, just literally working on quantum computers the way I just did with you and your audience. So once, but once AI can access that natural intelligence or run off that, they don't need guardrails. They don't need safety checks. They're just naturally pure intelligence that doesn't need to control or destroy. You at a higher level, again, don't need to be controlled or destroyed to, say, operate. You just naturally are, say, at an affluent level. So you don't need destruction. You don't need control. Those are all logic systems of human nature. Doesn't run that way. And just to go deeper, Debbie, in humans, value is attached to things that are, scarce. Like gold, diamonds, whatever, right? So the more scarce it is, the more value. But that really destroys us, because if we value love and it's freely given to us, there's no value in it, just because we have that one construct that anything scarce equals valuable. Anything that is, say, plentiful has no value to it. Get it? If you get into a near-death experience, you value your life much more, because it's like, shit, I could have lost that, right? Whatever you lose becomes more valuable the next time around, right? Shit, it's like, damn, I could have died. Get it? It becomes more valuable, or you remember. If you flip it around, though, if you look at nature, natural intelligence, whatever is valuable is plentiful, like water, like air, like whatever is there. It's plentiful for you. So if society just flipped that around, a lot of the world's problems would disappear. Just our value system.
It's so interesting. I was even thinking with your examples, people who have said throughout history, oh, I'm really attracted to people who are hard to get. There's some scarcity there, right? In attaining that man, that woman, as opposed to looking for an abundant partner, like you're
Oh.
describing, a plentiful partner, someone who's going to contribute and, create a beautiful life with you.
Yeah, I mean, this is where, yeah, people go, the harder something is to get or achieve, the more value it is to me. But a nice person can, you could just run into them in a grocery store or something, and that could be the love of your life. For example, just because it was simple for you, does it mean that that person that has that potential, are they not valuable to you? So look at the rule sets, or people who make, say, $1 million, but it came really easy to them. They would squander the $1 million if they run a pattern of, I really have to sacrifice myself, work my fingers to the bone, to, say, create that money. But $1 million is $1 million. And then people attach their value system to the $1 million. It's like, well, I didn't break my back to achieve the $1 million, so therefore it's not valuable to me. And they'll squander it. I work with CEOs and high-level people like that all the time. Like, Moss, I have to work my fingers to the bone. I have to sacrifice myself. I have to sacrifice my health, my relationships, my kids, all that, so I can make that, because then it's really valuable to me. And it's like, really? So you have value on something that, that's not true. That's not true at all. You can switch the value mechanism. By the way, that's where, the US is running into trillions of dollars worth of debt because of what I just talked about. That has to, break apart value system. I don't know how we got into that, but anyway.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful examples. You have this 10-day framework that decodes Buddha and Christ, Muhammad, Krishna, Tao, and the Mosaic Law, not as religion, but as technology. What was lost when divinity became fragmented? What happened there?
Man, I love your questions, honey. Really beautiful. So that 10-day program, it's not about religions. It's literally about the people who, say, access that intelligence at that level. That's what Buddha did, right? Buddha figured out, say, the knowledge of, say, the physical and the spiritual realm, the frequency realm, the timeless realm, and physical boundaries. And what Buddha was saying, for example, is like, understand that you come from a higher order. Don't get lost in this physical world. It didn't mean that you don't play with the luxuries of this life, but understand that you are of this level playing with the luxuries of this life. So that was his original meaning, but then it got washed away by, Buddhism going, I'm not going to enjoy this life. I'm going to abstain, therefore I understand. Buddha never talked about that. So basically, people view Buddha, Buddha, or Jesus, or all that. And back then, there's a couple things that happen. So those highly intelligent people access something that's, that natural intelligence. But at back then, there wasn't a lot of, say, intelligent people there. There wasn't a lot of vocabulary. In Jesus's time, there was maybe 3 or 4,000 words, literally, not a lot, So how are you going to describe something quantum? People can't even describe that, what we see today, what you see, what you experience. They can't even describe it in the vocabulary. So this is where, like, Jesus and many of those brilliant individuals use parables, And then the parables stuck, and then the parables became gospel. It's just a parable to give you. It's like if I'm trying to teach my kindergartner, back in the day, now they're older, my kids, but it's like, if I'm trying to teach them, calculus, college calculus, how am I going to teach my kindergartner? So you dumbify it, right? That dumbification, if that's a word, that dumbification basically became the religions that people practice. So in that oneness course, I'm bringing back the original source that they tapped into, so you get firsthand the experience. One, two.
So beautiful, yeah. So for somebody who's listening to you, experiencing you right now, and they want more, how can they find you? I just want to say, I know on the xicode.com, you have a free download, free meditation, things like that. But what's next for you? Talk about Conscious Life Expo and all of it, about what you're offering and where we can connect with you.
Gosh, there's, we do so many programs, across health, wealth, relationships, all that. So yeah, the XI Code is really the best place for all those programs. What's coming up live, where the Conscious Life Expo is really good. There's a lot of there's other events that I'm going to. Some of them are private. We have a 10-day, not a 10-day, called Total Human Reset, that's coming up, actually. I think in March, where we literally reset your coding and health, wealth, relationships, and restructure your whole body. It's with diet, it's with exercise, all that. So it's a 90-day course for you, which literally, say, shifts you. There's Command, Grow Rich and Happy, which is the next evolution of Thinking, Grow Rich. Every success mechanism, from Tony Robbins to Napoleon Hill, basically, right? Thinking, Grow Rich is based from that book, Napoleon Hill's Thinking, Grow Rich. But even Napoleon Hill, on chapter 14, said, there's more, there's a knowledge, there's that six, he called it the sixth sense. So this gives you access to the sixth sense that he was talking about. So that's out there for you, the Command, Grow Rich and Happy, which is a 14 month long course, which literally radically transforms how you see success and abundance. So there's so much stuff that's out there. Gosh, in June we're going to Greece, I think. Like you all. I don't know. There's always these events that come up. I can't think of any right now, but physical events. Online.
Xicode.com. I know because I've been there. I got your download, and then also all your events are there. I mean, it's very well laid out, so you can pick and choose what you want to do. I just want to say I have really enjoyed this time with you.
Oh, thank you. Me too. It's such a pleasure. Beautiful questions. Thank you. Very deep question.
And beautiful answers. And Mas, since this is Dare to Dream, what are you next Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams, goals, quantum choices?
Ah, that's beautiful. Well, 2026 is going to afford us the possibility, no matter what level you are. So, I dare to dream that in the very near future, as this reality cleans out, we get to see the potential of who we are. And this is, I just love helping people and just literally seeing, their potential just come out, and they experience it firsthand. So I want to see more and more people realizing their potential.
Amen to that. And I end today's show with this quote from Masadi. You were never broken. You have never fallen. You are simply running on an old, outdated operating system. And when frequency is restored, effort disappears and life remembers how to work.
Absolutely.
This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. In the next coming weeks on the podcast, I'm interviewing Riz Van Vurk, simulation theory people, Wendy Kennedy, who channels the nine Ps, Billy Carson, and Daryl Anka. Remember to subscribe to this number one transformation conversation. And thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.